Open your Bibles to Psalm 116, 116th Psalm. Lord willing, next week we'll be back in the book of Zechariah. Again, looking at just amazing things from the Word of God. Thank you for praying for my trip. I was in Brooklyn on Monday and Tuesday with our church planter there. Then Wednesday through Friday, I was in Ansonia, Connecticut, teaching discipleship to a church there. And then Saturday, drove to Syracuse, New York, about a five-hour drive from Connecticut. And we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Buckley Road Baptist Church, the church my father started. And then it was also the 40th anniversary of the pastor. And he was turning the church over to his son, who's just a great man. So thank you for praying. And then Tuesday night, biblical response to socialism at Ohio State. That was so much fun. I had so much fun. You know, one of the things that was really fun about it was I was able to actually express myself a little more plainly because it wasn't in church and it wasn't under Grace Baptist Church. I was just a speaker brought into the student organization. So I got to tell people what I really think about socialists. And man, that was liberating and fun and great. Thank you for praying. And I think it's going to open up doors. Caleb did a good job of putting all that together, and it's fun. You're going to be able to do some more of that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for Grace Baptist Church. And Lord, I say that every week, but today I want to express it a little bit more plainly. And Lord, thank you for all that you do. And Lord, help me as I speak today to just express in a clear way what we're thankful for. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it was just last year that I started what you didn't know will be a tradition that I hope the Lord will let me continue. And it is my message, the same title, probably different subject matter. But today I am thankful. Tonight we'll have a testimony time, Lord's Supper and testimony time. And this is my testimony time. I get the floor for a little bit longer to tell you all what I'm thankful for. Look at Psalm 116 and look at verse 17. The Bible says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Look at verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all this people. So this is the Ananias and Sapphira's moment where Ananias and Sapphira moment. So if you committed money to the building fund and you haven't paid your vows, you're going to be stricken dead. Right? No, it's interesting. Obviously, this is an Old Testament passage and it's dealing with the sacrifices and the vows that were a part of Jewish worship in the temple. For us, I want you to think about something. We are so blessed and we are so busy based on the blessings of God in our lives, that it can almost seem like a sacrifice to stop and thank God. Isn't that interesting? One of the things, Laura and I have this saying, look at Philippians chapter 3, I'll show you. You know, ministry, it gives you perspective. And the greatest perspective is I don't have any problems. You know, when you see what other people go through and you help people walk through them, you can say, my goodness, God has been so good to us. So look at what it says in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, how many of you have heard that verse? Or read that verse? Do you know what the context is? Look at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. What's the context? There are two ladies in the church that are fighting each other. They're kind of going at each other. How many of you have known a time in church where you saw two people fall out with each other? You ever seen that happen? Nobody's raising their hand. It's very interesting. What's the answer to that? Rejoice. Rejoice. Be thankful. This is the saying that Laura and I have. Thankfulness is the answer to almost every problem. Thankfulness is the answer to almost every problem. Look at what it says, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. My moderation, I'm not too high, I'm not too low. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He's right here. He's right here with me. And I can rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be honest with yourself and with the Lord right now. Do you ever feel dissatisfied? Do you ever feel dissatisfied? How many of you could look back over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, last couple of months, and you have found yourself full? And it might just be for a moment until you get back in your right mind. But how many of you found yourself dissatisfied? Would you raise your hands? What's the answer to that? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. If you all knew the things that I grumble about, you would never come back to church again. And then I get frustrated with myself because I'm focusing on either a problem or something that I perceive as a need, which is not a need. Or I just get tired and I forget about the goodness of God. It's interesting to me. Most of my problems are busyness, which is the manifestation of the blessing of God. I got home from this trip and I was tired. Man, by Wednesday and getting ready for Wednesday night Bible study, I was tired. And I started to kind of grumble and I prayed this to the Lord. Lord, don't stop giving me opportunities. I said, I'm so thankful. I love being able to help. I love being able to preach. I'm just tired right now. Almost every complaint I have is the result of me. Let me rephrase it. Almost every time I complain, I'm complaining about the things that come along with the blessing of God. So today I'm thankful. Let me tell you the first thing I'm thankful for. I'm thankful, and don't just let this go by. I'm thankful for salvation. You know, when I was in Brooklyn, and you walk down the street, and there's, I don't know, in the greater New York, I guess in New York City itself, it's 8.6 million people. But in the region, something like 20 million people or something. And there are churches all over, almost all of them empty. It's becoming a completely secular society. And many of the churches that are doing well, they're cults. They don't have the teaching of the clear teaching that Jesus Christ is God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, and then he died on a cross that he did not deserve, but that we did. And that he was buried for 3 days and three nights. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead, proving that he is, was, and always will be God. And that if we will believe that, confess our sin, and receive that gift of eternal life, then we can have the assurance, the knowledge, the absolute certainty of eternal life. Tony Slade, you're here, man. Praise God. We've been praying for you. So I preached at this church in Connecticut, and I told the Bible study and I told Sunday school that 11 years ago, they met me and Dalton and Jeff Faggart at a conference at a large church in Connecticut. This is a small church. And so for 11 years, they've been listening to everything that comes out of Grace Baptist on the website. Isn't that cool? Learning and growing. And so they were asking about you. And almost everywhere I go, people ask about Tony Slade. Isn't that cool? I think that's awesome. And I always say, man, Tony's doing great, faithful as ever. He doesn't want me to say this. He had surgery. I'm glad he's here. Pray for him. Pray for him. And will you all do something for me? Is everybody awake? If you're awake, raise your hand. Okay. Don't ask him about it. Will you do that for me? If you will do that for me, raise your hand. Don't ask him about it. But I will say this one thing. Tony, I'm sorry so many people care about you. All right. So, where was I? So I'm in this church, and I'm watching the things that are going on in the culture. And it feels like in that area, there's such a darkness. I'm thankful that I know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came into the earth to save sinners. And as Paul said, of whom I am chief. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus would save the chiefest of sinners? That there's nothing that you can have done that Jesus Christ's blood can't cleanse. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for where God placed me. And, you know, after 22 years here now, you know, we have a beautiful home. We've got this beautiful building to minister in. And being there with Mike Greenberg and his wife there in Brooklyn, I want you to think about, sometimes we forget about what people go through to do a work for God in the United States. So there in Brooklyn, where they live and where they minister, their apartment, so it's he and his wife and three kids and their dog, and the apartment's about 450 square feet. Now, for you kids, that's smaller than you can even comprehend. How many of you are thankful that you don't have three kids in 450 square feet? So they have, it's very narrow. It might be 10 or 12 feet wide, their apartment. So it's the kitchen at the back, and then you have their living room, and then there's one bedroom, and then another bedroom. So you walk through the one bedroom to get to the back bedroom, and he built bunk beds into the wall for the three kids. And that's their apartment. And they can't really go outside to play because it's not safe. And so they were playing while I was there. And so in between the living room and the bedroom is a doorway, and they have one of those pull-up bars there. And we'd be talking, and all of a sudden I'd see a 9-year-old run by and jump up onto the pull-up bar and just doing all kinds of tricks and everything up on that pull-up bar. That's their life. That's their life. That's where they live. And I think they had 8 people in church last Sunday. Praise God. One man. It's so difficult to reach the people in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and it's one of the most up-and-coming places. The building next to the church just sold for $4 million. They're going to turn it into condominiums, and each floor will sell for $4 million. That's the neighborhood that they live in, and they're going to spend the rest of their lives telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. How many of you think that's somebody we need to pray for? Amen. These are people, they're just like you and me. They just surrendered to the Lord's work. And I wonder about those kids. I hope those kids grow up knowing that people like Grace Baptist Church appreciate what they're doing. In the United States of America, they're going to reach people with the gospel. I am thankful today that I know what salvation is. And I'm thankful that there are people that are willing to go into the darkest places in our country and put down a stake and say, I'm going to stay here as long as God would have me to do it to try and establish something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, I think many of you know the story. They went there and he started knocking on doors and leading people to Christ, and just trying to talk with people. And, you know, one of the hardest parts about starting a church in New York City is having a building. Oh, I didn't tell you this. Their 450 square foot apartment is $2,500 a month. That's what it's like to live where they are. So now imagine trying to rent even a storefront to be able to start a church. $10,000 a month. Where's a little church plant going to get $10,000 a month, $15,000 a month? Where are you going to get that kind of money? And so what happened was he met these people with this church that was about to close, Union Baptist Church, and the building was built in the 1860s. And somehow they got in there, and now Union Baptist Church is pastored by Mike Neuberger. They have a $4 million building. God gave them a $4 million property. Think about that. Think about what it took to build this building, and God gave that to them. Now it's fallen apart. And they have gone in, and the lower level is done. Here, this is a prayer request that we really need to pray for them. Their auditorium, what happened was the roof was gone, and so it had been raining into this old building. And so now they've gotten the roof fixed, which was just a major thing, because it's a landmarked building. It's on the National Register of Historic Buildings. And so because they're preserving that building, God has smiled on them in the community, and he actually holds the city council meetings in their building now. Everyone in leadership knows Mike Neuberger. Isn't that a blessing? But their auditorium, they sealed the building, or they sealed the roof, but now the paint is all peeling. They have to fix it all. Listen, or they're going to lose their insurance. If they lose their insurance, they can't stay in the building. So the first week of December, there's a church group going there to help them scrape the paint and maybe get some of that stuff painted. We really need to pray for them because, listen, Satan does not want a lighthouse in Greenpoint, New York. I can tell you that. And for them to be there investing in that place, man, I am so thankful that God is willing to do that and that we get to be a part of that. Wouldn't it be cool for us to take a group up there and just paint or do something like that? That'd be fantastic. We need to pray about that. But then I'm thankful not only for salvation and that people are willing to go and preach the gospel and really sacrifice, but thirdly, I'm thankful that I know the truth. And I'm thankful that God has given us a commission to teach the truth to others. So this church in Connecticut, it's in Ansonia, Connecticut, the River Valley Baptist Church. What a precious group of people. And we had really good attendance through the whole thing. We went through the goals of discipleship, the biblical mandate of discipleship, all of those things with them. And they're going to be making disciples. But let me tell you a story. So there's the pastor and his son. His son is really, his name's Justin, was really influential in me coming to that meeting. And Justin met a girl in Bible college, married her. And she doesn't come to church anymore. And she won't step foot in the church. After I got done Friday night, it was there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He said, "My wife wants to talk to you. Are you willing to talk to her?" I said, "Of course." So we were done at about 8:30. He brought her back about 8:30. And we were there until a little bit after midnight talking. When I was done, she said, "Will you tell people my story?" And I said, "Yes. Let me tell you her story." She grew up in a family that went to a good church, but her family, her parents, were influenced by every extreme in independent Baptist circles and in fundamentalist circles. For example, I don't remember the name of it, but they got involved in this movement that you're supposed to have as many children as possible. So it's the same movement that influenced the Duggars. How many of you have heard of the Duggars? Now, how many of you know that the Duggars are pretty much good people, but it's really weird? Right? And so that's what she grew up in. She was molested for 6 years by a family friend. And she would tell her parents, but her parents wouldn't believe her. The youth director at their church groomed a girl and had relations with her for 5 years or something like that. When the pastor found out, he had the man confess the sin to the church and fired him, but never brought the authorities in. Now, let me stop right here. That would not happen at Grace Baptist Church. That would not happen here. We will protect your children. Her mother spanked her, listen, when she was 22 years old. This is how she grew up. And listen, every evil thing that happened to her, her parents defended with the Bible. So now, when she walks into a church building, she has panic attacks. Because that's what she thinks of Christianity. When I was talking with her and I opened up the Bible, she said, "I hate that book. Everything bad that ever happened to me was justified by that book." Man, as I talked to her, the first thing I wanted to do, you know, her dad, when he walked her down the aisle, she was waiting for her dad finally to say something nice to her. He didn't say a word. When she got married, he comes and walks her down the aisle and never says, "I'm proud of you, I love you." And as I was talking, the first thing I wanted to do was call Lydia and tell her I love her and I'm proud of her. See, here's what I'm thankful for. Even though my parents were a part of a very conservative fundamentalist group, we never experienced anything like that. I'm thankful that the Bible can give us godly, biblical standards to live by that are not a drudgery, they're a help to us. I'm thankful that at Grace Baptist Church, that everything that we teach is out of love for the Word of God and love for God's people. And that when passages are preached in their context, it's always good for us. I'm thankful that we have that. I'm thankful that I had a mother, and I've told you all this, that she instilled us with confidence. Now, she was probably lying. But let me give you an example. Some of you haven't heard this. Some of you have. My mother would say to us, as we're teenagers, when you guys, this is my brothers and sisters and me, Laura's got this grin on her face already. "When you guys walk into a room, you just glow." Isn't that sweet? It's probably because I needed to wash my face, but seriously, how many of you think it's just precious? My mother instilled in us that we could do anything. That we could do anything. This girl, everything she did was wrong and beaten down and torn down. And what we teach here is speak to your children the way you want them to become. I talk about Jacob when he was little. You know, he'd do something stupid because all kids do stupid stuff, right? That's because they're kids. And rather than look at him and say, "That was stupid," or "You're stupid," I would say to him, "God gave you a good mind. You need to use the mind that God gave you." Isn't that a better way to say it? Right? Was it still a stupid thing that he did? So, she said, "Please tell the church this." I'm thankful that I had that conversation with her and pray for her. I hope that God will intervene. It's a brutal situation. So I was thankful for that opportunity. I'm thankful for the reminder that God gave me to talk with you all about parenting and about how we deal with our kids. And it feels like that you have two extremes. You have parents that demean and belittle their children, and on the other hand, you have parents that say that they love their kids too much to discipline them. And I just mentioned this to someone. I heard this recently, and it's such a good statement. You can either discipline your children or get ready to raise theirs. Can I say that again? You can either discipline your children or get ready to raise theirs. Isn't that a good statement? So between beating down or even abusing your children and being so tolerant that they never learn self-discipline is biblical parenting. And here's what biblical parenting is. Immediate obedience in the right spirit is the only acceptable response. Let me say that again. Immediate obedience in the right spirit is the only acceptable response. If you tell your child to do something, the child does not do that, then there's immediate discipline. I'm not talking about putting cigarettes out on them. See, this is what people think, that discipline is abuse. Discipline is not abuse. If you raise your children properly, there's no reason to spank a child after 5 or 6 years old, if you raise them properly. How many of you know it's a lot tougher to spank an 18-year-old? How many of you know that? Especially when they're probably bigger than you. And there's no reason to do that. Are you with me on that? There's no reason to do that. But I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for the truth. I'm thankful that I was raised in a home. Now, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I've told this very often. My dad's parents never told him they loved him. Dad never, until later in life, I mean, way late, said that to us. But there was no doubt that Dad loved us. My kids can hardly walk past me without me saying that I love them. We don't have to repeat the errors of our parents. Amen? Are you with me? I'm watching parents look at kids. It's awesome. I love seeing families in here. Man, I love it. I love it. And I'm so thankful for the families that God has brought to Grace Baptist Church. Thankful. I'm thankful for generational Christians. And y'all know that nobody gets to go to heaven because their parents are going to heaven. I'm thankful that you have the parents get saved and the kids get saved and the grandkids get saved and the great-grandkids get saved. And so that you can have gray beards like Jeff Blackford and his grandson right here. Are you saved? I know you are. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. To see Jason Bradshaw here, who's saved in spite of his parents. It's a wonderful thing. Does it sound like I'm rambling? I just had a profound experience this week, or last week. It affected me to watch the Newburgers and what they're going through. Not going through, what they're joyful, just so you know. To be in this church with this faithful pastor who wasn't sure what to do next, and discipleship gave him the answer. And thank God for Mark Trotter teaching us so we knew what the next step was 21 years ago. And then for this conversation with this girl, I just can't tell you how it affected me. Somebody should have been there to help her along the way. Grace Baptist, let's be that church. Let's say, listen, it's fine to hold your children accountable, but let's make sure that what we are holding them accountable to is biblical. Now, there are certain things. You know, if you tell your child they have to be home at 10 o'clock, the Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible says children obey your parents. And parents, if you're really stupid, let your kids stay out as long as they want to. Let me get a good amen on that right there. Let's hold our children accountable in love and to biblical standards, to biblical truth, not man-made stuff. Because this is when children start to lose their faith. When you tell them that a behavior or an activity that's not addressed in the Bible is on the same level as biblical doctrine. You can't do that. Now, young people, your parents have the right to tell you what activities you can participate in and not participate in. And they might not want to give you the reasons why. You just need to trust your parents. Because I can tell you this, you guys are not being abused. As a matter of fact, it's probably the other end. They're letting you do too much. Be thankful you didn't grow up in my house. Ethan's thinking, why'd you point me out? I mean, you were just sitting right there. You're the closest person. I'm done. I could talk for hours on the things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the families at Grace Baptist Church. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the opportunities that God gives me to preach His Word and then to see the results of when you tell someone the truth, how it helps them and how it changes them. And honestly, I'm thankful when God brings people across my path who have been on the wrong end of religion. I'll tell you something that happened. So she's bitter against the Bible, and she's bitter against church because of the way she was raised. And I looked at her and I said, you're not wrong. I would be bitter against that kind of church and about that kind of use of Scripture myself. I said, you're not wrong. And her husband put his hands in his head in his hands, and he said, no one has said that to her. No one has said that to her. Why would I defend a false system and a false use of Scripture? Why would I feel the need? Why would I be so insecure in biblical Christianity to defend its abuse? Folks, I'm thankful that we don't belong to a system, but that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and our authority is the Word of God preached in its context. And it's real in our lives. I'm thankful that I have a chance to tell you, don't abuse the Bible in your raising of your children. Don't abuse the Bible in trying to defend what we're doing at Grace Baptist. We don't need to abuse it. We can just preach it. You might be a guest here and you're thinking, Pastor, that's great. You've not preached the Bible a minute this morning. Come back. Trust me. I told her I would tell you. That's what I've done today. How many of you are thankful for godly parents? Thankful. Thankful for Grace Baptist Church. Thankful for the liberty that we have in Christ. You know, we can say we have liberty without saying it's okay to walk around naked. How many of you think there's something in between that? Right? Are you with me? These people are crazy. It's okay to say we have liberty. Don't go drinking and get drunk. Right? Wine's a mocker. Strong drink or aging. Don't do it. You see, you can be a believer and you can have godly standards without abusing people. Amen. Today I'm thankful. Thankful, so thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for people who are willing to go and establish churches and preach the truth. I'm thankful that I have the truth so that when I'm confronted with people who've been abused by error, that we don't have to make apologies. Let me finish it with this. She would ask questions, and it would be things like, why weren't women allowed to own property in the Bible? And I said they were, and I showed her Zelophehad's daughters and the whole thing. And every question, she would just, I'd start to answer a question, and she would just vomit out another thing that someone had said to her. And so I just spent hours going through the Bible, answering the questions. And then she just broke down and cried, just almost uncontrollably. And she said, why hasn't anyone ever answered these questions for me before? And all I can say is, I don't know. But I know this. At Grace Baptist Church, we're going to teach people how to give those answers. We're going to be God's representatives in this world, not based on what some man says, but on a clear understanding of the Word of God. And we teach that through one-on-one biblical discipleship, beginning to ground people so that they can understand things and answer those questions. Let's be those people. Amen? Lord, thank you for the opportunities that you've given me. None of those opportunities this past week would have been available to me without a church like Grace Baptist Church standing behind me and encouraging me.